Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I would say yes. I'm always surprised if we don't play our best on that day because that's what we gear up for all week. Unfortunately, it didn't happen the way we wanted it to, and you have to suffer the consequences. You have to take that on the chin and get back up.
Do you think you will retire as a Bear?
I think that I'll do everything in my power to do so.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Akeem Hicks talking yesterday. Surprised about the performance. You got to take it on the chin. You got to get back up. And he says he's going to do everything he can do to retire as a Bear. Does that mean take less money?
Well, nice direct question by Mark Grody.
Yeah.
That would require taking less money because right. The Bears have backed themselves into a very difficult situation and position in terms of the salary cap. You make a lot of bad investments. It prevents you from making ones that you think might be for the good of your football team. They can't afford Akeem Hicks at the price they probably want after this season. Now, can he stay healthy? Is he somebody that you project at 32 years old can help you over the next 2 years? A contract extension wouldn't be more than that, right? You'd think a two-year deal, a two-year extension would be in best-case scenario. Look, Mully, he's going to make $10 million this year. He has been a terrific Chicago Bear, and I don't know, though, if it makes a lot of sense where this team is, wherever this team is, in terms of their building or rebuilding. I don't know which, how to refer to it, but I would be surprised, let's put it this way, if Akeem Hicks is a Bear in 2022.
Is this Hall?
And that opinion has nothing to do with any sort of past fun that we have had on this show with Akeem Hicks. He's always welcome back. Anytime. Every week if he wants.
God. I think Akeem has had a great career with the Bears. And I think that he's a real force in the middle of that defensive line. And I think they're significantly better with him than without him. But I also understand that they have a lot of money invested, that four of the top six cap hits are invested in that defensive line, and that defensive line has to get home. That defensive line has to sack the quarterback. They have to hit the quarterback. They have to force throws out earlier. They have to dominate, frankly, in order for the Bears to win, because the front seven is the strength of this team. And as you get deeper, you run into problems. And clearly the secondary struggled mightily in that game. Now, the good news is that there are options and things that you can do to try to fix that. You can try other people in other ways. You can hopefully try to make up for some of the problems that you've had. But I don't know that you can say that about other parts of this team. And I think that when we started talking about the Bears heading into the season, we talked about the fact that they've got a couple of holes, gaping holes at very important positions. And was anyone surprised that both those things came home to roost in the season opener? I think we probably anticipated there would be issues.
I think we did, but I don't think we probably anticipated the issues being as glaring with the safeties, where you felt like you had veterans manning those positions and that wouldn't be exploited to the extent they were. I think that's what's so jarring about what the Bears did on Sunday night, was that we knew that coming in they're going to be compromised at both cornerback spots in terms of your nickel and your starting corner opposite Jalen Johnson. And Marquis Christian had a long night, and the numbers reflect that. But I think the most egregious mistakes came from two guys who you were supposed to count on, things maybe you took for granted, Eddie Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson that we heard from him yesterday. And you're exactly right in terms of the investment in the front seven. The Bears' front seven is the strength of this team, and they want to keep a strength of strength.
Right.
But let's also not forget this. As soon as this season ends, and maybe even before that point, I don't know, but Roquan Smith is going to get paid.
You would think.
You would hope. And they better not screw this one up. This is somebody you have to keep in your system. This is a young player you drafted in the first round, a guy that represents everything you want. And if he stays healthy and has a kind of year that the opener implied, he's going to be worth every penny. So there again goes back to your statistic. How much are you going to invest in your front seven and how much is left for the rest of your roster? You can't look at Akeem Hicks as a guy you're going to overpay based on what he's accomplished. You have to look to the future.
You're paying a higher price for cornerbacks not to play than for the guys that are playing.
That's going to hurt.
So that's not good.
That's not good at all.
And I think that when you think about some of the decisions that are forthcoming, you know, they're in salary cap hell. They really are. And it's not going to get any easier in the offseason when you think about where is Danny Trevathan? What are you going to do with him? And that's really the main one is Robert Quinn. The main one is what's he doing for you? And how do you get, you got a chance to get out of that contract. It's almost essential you take it, even with a huge cap hit as a result.
Because, Molly, we're going to end the season predicting, and the Bears are still going to be in need of a number 1A cornerback. Or let's say this. Let's not even go that far. Let's say Jalen Johnson is going to be your number one and be as good as people expect. You're still going to be in the market for a cornerback that is a difference maker that can play that position. I would expect, I'll be surprised if Kendall Vildor removes the doubt about everything this year. That's not, that maybe sound like I'm underestimating his ability to do that, but I think you're going to always want to go out and spend, and you can find a free agent cornerback. You're going to want a free agent this and a free agent that. How are you replacing Allen Robinson with a weapon? The point is that whether it's Robert Quinn or Danny Trevathan, or your wide receiver or cornerback to be named later, you're going to have other expenses. And Ryan Pace has created this very untenable situation with the salary cap. You can't keep everybody. You can't keep everybody happy. So Akeem Hicks may want to retire a Bear, but ultimately it's going to come down to how much is he willing to back that up by giving the Bears, you know, a hometown discount.
You know, I think part of the problem too, you know, a hometown discount is essential for him to come back. I don't think there's any doubt about it because of all the money they have splashed around. Eddie Goldman has gotten a good contract after proving that he deserves it in the NFL. And he skipped last year. They couldn't find him in the offseason, but he came back. And he even missed the mandatory minicamp. Mandatory. But he did come back. And he had been working out, and he was in good shape, but he's gone down to injury. And so you're not sure when he's going to be able to play, how much what kind of season is he going to have? He sat out last season. He worked out, obviously, on his own. But you don't know when he's coming back and how good he's going to be when he comes back, which the real mystery is how will that injury affect whether it's a chronic issue for the rest of the year, right? When a guy has knee and ankle issues, is that gonna last beyond one game? Is he coming back and then he's locked in? You know, it's frustrating to watch the Bears go through a training camp where they finally get to the regular season and the only thought is, God, if only they had a couple more weeks of training camp. Then they could get everyone in shape in order to play in the NFL. It's just frustrating when you have so many guys that are limited and you can't get guys on the field when you have. And I thought Jermaine Ifedi did fine during the game, but he got injured during the first element of training camp, which is of course when you do your training session to prove that you're in shape and you hit your numbers, etc. He actually pulled a muscle getting ready for the first run. And I'm not being mean about it. You need him, and you needed him, and you had him locked in. So It just is a frustrating element of the Bears this season. But, and it's a big but, it's Wednesday of your game week, of game two. Everyone in the division lost. I can't wait to talk to Stacey Dales. We'll talk to her at 8:22, much later in the program. But I want to ask her a couple of questions about what she saw from that Green Bay Packers team. Because if they're no damn good, David, if their quarterback is half in and half out, if they're not the entity that you thought they were in the division, guess what? The division is open, even to a team with secondary issues and left tackle problems. There are ways of overcoming those things. Teams can get through it. Now, you can't run your offense the way you want to if you don't have a left tackle. And you can't run your defense the way you want to if you got secondary issues. But you can do things that can help you get through that. And who knows? Maybe you got a chance in the division that no one expected because you thought Minnesota was ahead of them. You thought Green Bay was well ahead of them. And I don't know.
Maybe you sound as optimistic as people did last week before the opener. And I think that's fair and it's understandable. But I did not see a lot of reasons for hope coming out of Sunday night in L.A. Now, the good news is, as you point out, there is the division everyone lost. And there's also the reality that in the NFL, a lot of times you see what happens between week one and week two is such a dramatic difference that the team that took the field in the opener is unrecognizable on tape in week two. So the Bears have to hope for something like that to happen. Defensively, they have a lot to clean up. Maybe the good news is the guys who made the most glaring errors are guys who are veterans that you can trust in Tayshaun Gibson and Eddie Jackson. They've got to be more impactful. They've got to be the ones that carry and lift the play of your cornerbacks, the guys who you haven't, you know, seen a lot of, the Marquis Christians of the world, Kendall Vildor, and then your front seven has to be your front seven. Front seven didn't have a terrible game. You'd like to see more pass pressure. You'd like to see Khalil Mack be more visible and impactful. Akeem Hicks, who we began the segment talking about, it was pretty good. Now, he had the roughing the passer penalty that we talked about and criticized.
Yeah.
It was not the smartest thing to do, but in terms of the pressure he supplied in the interior rush, he was terrific. And that is what the Bears have come to expect from him. How much longer they can expect that from a 32-year-old defensive tackle, that's going to be the rub, and that's going to be the difference in what he believes and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, think he should be paid and what the Bears are projecting him to make. But looking at week two, they have an opportunity they need to win.
They got to win this game.
They need to change the subject.
They have to win this game. Yeah. It's as simple as that. And I think that, you've got some serious issues moving forward, but you got to worry about the right now. You got to worry about who you're lining up at left tackle. What did you say? Didn't you say that Pro Football Focus had the quarterback releasing the ball faster than everyone else?
Andy
in the
Dalton
league?
Had the quickest release of any quarterback in week one, I believe, and on average. Now, he probably released, and I have to go back and check, but it was fewer than 2.5 seconds. And that is a product of, number one, plays called to protect your weaknesses in protecting the passer. And number two, it's just that is the scheme with Andy Dalton as the quarterback.
But Andy Dalton's the quarterback because he can do that. That is a necessary evil. That, you know, as much as everyone wants the Bears to get the ball down the field, there are two thoughts. One, the only way to do that is with play action. And they got a good running game. But I don't see them run play action. I really don't. And I think that is a problem. So you got to get the running back going, because here's what's going to happen. If you don't throw the ball down the field, teams are going to load up and stop the run. You know, there's no way David Montgomery is going to be allowed to get 108 yards on 16 carries in this game. If you're coming into it, if everyone breaks down tape, you're going to say they can't go down the field. So let's load the box. Let's force them to throw quickly and we'll beat them that way. And guess what? That's probably a successful game plan given the way they played in the first game.
You got to take shots. You got to take shots, and you got to give your tackles some help. You've got to leave in a tight end if necessary. You've got to, do whatever you need to do to create a pocket. And we never really saw Andy Dalton drop into a pocket. The 5 to 7 step drops were non-existent against the Rams because of plays that were called and designed to get rid of the ball as quickly as he did. Could Justin Fields do that? People want to say, yeah. I mean, there's great rants all over the internet you can see and you can listen to and whatever. And they're great, and they reflect the fans' interest and desire to see him sooner rather than later. But there's a football element to this as well, that you don't want to put him back there if you can't protect him. That it goes back to that.
And I mean, the very fact that you say 2.4 seconds or whatever it is, that's how quickly – that's how quickly the ball was released. I think it was Dan Pompey who wrote that Andy Dalton was the best pass protector on the field, because that's what you're doing when you're getting rid of the ball that quickly. You are protecting yourself from no left tackle, from injuries at left tackle, from whatever, from Aaron Donald, frankly. So you're getting rid of the ball before that guy can blow up the game. And guess what? That guy can blow up the game. And he did some. He still had his moments, right? He still managed to cause some problems. But you're getting rid of the ball so fast that you're protecting yourself, and that is what the issue was against the number one defense. Now, this is not the number one defense in the NFL, and you know, we'll talk about it and we'll scout them out. But the fact of the matter is that Justin Fields needs to play more. Period. End of story. You don't have playmakers. You need him to play more. And I'm not saying start him. But I think you got to, you know, move toward that end.
Gradually expand his role.
Exactly.
Gradually increase his reps. Give him some consecutive snaps.
Consecutive
for a
snaps.
Change. That would be a
nice,
good start, and maybe start a series. Also, the Bengals aren't the number one defense in the league. They're coming in compromised as well without their number one cornerback. It's expected that Trey Waynes will be ruled out at some point when the injury report comes out later today. We'll see how healthy the Bears are. But this defense gives you some opportunities to exploit, whereas the Rams just gave you were in a very defensive position against that defense, if that makes any sense, because you were kind of you went into the Rams game, you didn't want to make a mistake. You didn't want to make an error. You went into it sort of with the wrong – you weren't aggressive. You were going to be tentative because of who you were playing. It's got to change now. You've got to have a different mindset against the Bengals at home Sunday at Soldier Field.
All right, we're going to get to the aforementioned Dan Pompey, but first we'll get to the pick six, and we'll pick apart the stories of the day. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How much do you think a matchup with Cincinnati means to Andy Dalton? Does a guy who made three Pro Bowls with his old team plan on playing his best this week? Or is he preparing himself to be replaced? Does the fact that he threw two touchdowns and led Dallas to a 30-7 victory over the Bengals have any bearing?
Yeah, I don't think that matters, but I do think he probably wants to play great against his old team. I think it's probably a built-in type thing. I love the idea that he's just preparing himself to be replaced. He just knows that he's second-guessing himself and understands he's got to do better. But you know what? He's got to do better. You can't throw a pick, even if it's a deflected one, down in the red zone. You got to be really careful about how you play. You can't, when you have such limited opportunities, and if they had gotten even a field goal out of that, it might have been a different game. I don't know that it would have been, but it might have been. Always fun to speculate on such matters. Yeah, I hope it means something to Andy Dalton. I hope he really wants to beat his old team. That would work for the Bears.
I'm sure it does. This is somebody who's a confident quarterback. He accomplished a lot with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sure it is special to see them on the opposite side. A lot of maybe even familiar guys on the team. I'm not sure how many players are still there from when he was. But he's got to take a step forward this week. He's got to, you know, do what he can within the confines of that offense, because it is limiting. It is very limiting. But I imagine this has some special meaning to him. And he's already played them once, but this is kind of a new situation. He didn't go to the Cowboys to be the starter. He came to the Bears to be the starter. He has a lot to prove, and certainly he will be – his cheering section will be small on Sunday because everybody wants to see his replacement. And I'm sure he has steeled himself for that reality as well. So I expect whatever degree he can control his performance – he'll probably do it very well.
Pick six.
When veteran wide receiver Marquise Goodwin says 2 days after the 34-14 loss to the Rams that the Bears not running past 10 yards played right into the hands of Rams quarterback Jalen Ramsey. What does he really say? What do you think Matt Nagy thinks of such honesty?
I can't imagine that Matt Nagy appreciates the fact that basically after 1 week, one game plan, his new wide receiver, his veteran that they added to the group, is pointing out that, you know what, we did something that fell right into the hands of Jalen Ramsey. Okay, that's for us to say. That's for people outside Hallis Hall to say. When you hear it from a wide receiver who's been here for what, one game? I think it speaks to just how obvious it was that the Bears' offense didn't threaten anybody, and maybe that this idea of Matt Nagy calling the plays, the skepticism that surrounds it, doesn't really just stop at Hallis Hall. Maybe it's filtered into the locker room as well. So not a good sign to hear that.
You know, I think what he's saying is he's saying, I'm faster than Jalen Ramsey. I'm an Olympic athlete, and I can run down the field faster than the best cornerback in football, and let me blow by him and just throw some balls up, right? Let me show you my speed. That is my advantage over every corner in the league. So that's what he's calling for. And frankly, they need to throw the ball down the damn field. It's that simple. Now, I get it. You want to get rid of the ball. You want to throw it out. You don't want to throw it near Jalen Ramsey. But if you can just have Andy Dalton drop three steps and throw it as far as he can and let this guy run underneath it. I think that's what he means. I think he's just saying, hey,
give me a chance.
I'm a speedster.
Yeah.
You know, here I am. I'm world class, baby.
Should
have made the Olympics. Just throw it.
That is a pick six.
any surprise at all that the Chicago market registered an average 26.6 household rating for the Bears-Rams game on NBC, the highest local rating in the country? Will that hold up or be impacted by the team's play? Is Justin Fields' usage an influence factor?
I think it is an influencing factor. I think that if they announce Justin Fields is going to start, you might get closer to 40 rather than 26.6. I think people will go nuts for it. I think that the Bears own this town, and they got a great fan base, and people care, and it's the beginning of the season, so everybody tunes in Chicago. Doesn't surprise me that the Nielsen ratings are so high, but I do think that usage of Justin Fields will be a factor, because it will keep people on board even if the Bears are losing. There's going to be a fascination with how this kid does and when he starts, and if they announce that, expect a monster rating that week.
Justin Fields is a magnet for viewers, for interest, for excitement. And the fact that the 26.6 is the number for the week one, it reflects some of that. You see it in the jersey sales as well. The guy has not really taken consecutive snaps in the NFL after his first game, and he's already got people excited. If they were to announce that Justin Fields was going to start, whether it's it won't be this Sunday, but if next Sunday or the following, whenever that is, those numbers will go up even more. There's a curiosity, there's an excitement, there's an anticipation level that is somewhat distracting probably for a lot of other people in that building up at Hallis Hall. So not surprised at all. I actually thought it might be a little bit higher given week one, and maybe people know what they're getting for the Bears. But yeah, this is all about Justin Fields.
Scoreboard update.
White Sox were 9-3 winners last night over the Angels. And from the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes, and here's what's happening. The Sox magic number is now 7 after that big win last night over 35th and Shields. Gavin Sheets, 3 hits, including a 3-run home run. Moncada extended his hitting streak to 24 straight games. And Luis Robert hit a home run that still might be going. Same two teams tonight. Dallas Keuchel throws. Cubs beat the Phillies 6-3. Patrick Wisdom, his 26th home run, tying Chris Bryant for the Cubs' all-time rookie home run record. Same two teams tonight in Philadelphia. Alec Mills is throwing. 5:30 pregame right here on the Score with Zach Zabin. And the Bears brought in 3 defensive backs for tryouts on Tuesday. And the game plan goes into motion today for Sunday's game with the Bengals. The Wildcats, they host Rutgers, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy the tickets at usports.com. And this scoreboard update is brought to you by iParkit Parking App.
Can you believe this? Pick 6!
What do you think of Lucas Giolito's return last night? If the Sox slotting their starters for the playoffs, where would you try slotting Giolito? Do you think him starting game one last year against the A's and dominating that start will play a role in that decision?
Hard to ignore. I don't think that'll play a role in the decision, though. I don't think that you have the types of depth, the type of depth in your starting rotation last year that you have now. So last night was a good step forward. I know that it was 87 pitches, which bothered Dustin and maybe some other people. It was only 4 innings, and he has been sharper. But I think that you have to start somewhere, and this was a good first step back after the hamstring injury. This is the preseason to the postseason. This is spring training-like in terms of slotting your starters. But I still think he's your third starter in the playoffs. I still think you're going Lance Lynn, Rodon, and then Giolito.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going. I got to see how everybody is at the end of the season. This is, to me, I'd like to think it's spoiled for choice, but it might just be the players are going to lay it out for you. So, in other words, if I feel like Carlos Rodon has only got one start in him in a 7-game series or whatever it might be, then I'm going to I'm probably going to slot him in third, because I'm going to want Lance Lynn to be able to start and then come back and start another game, and ditto Giolito. So it all comes down to how everyone is pitching toward the end of the year as to how I slot them. But if I feel like Rodon can't bounce back and have 2 starts in a 7-game series, then obviously I'm not putting him second. As much as I want to break up righty-lefty, I want to break up 2 righties. I do think that I think it's important that you have a couple guys at the top of the rotation that can go twice. I know Dallas Keuchel can't, so now I'm asking myself if I got 3, how do I arrange those three? And Dylan Cease can get one. So that's what I'm thinking.
Pick six.
What was the most surprising roster move the White Sox made on Tuesday? Is it sending Selby Zavala back to AAA Charlotte and promoting Zach Collins? Sending Danny Mendick down when Tim Anderson was activated? Or putting Andrew Vaughn on the IL with a back injury? Is Vaughn's news a relief of sorts since it explains his slump in non-usage on Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering why they didn't go to him in that situation on Saturday. I guess his back was bothering him. There was another move too, right? Didn't they bring up Chase Fry and put Tapera on the injured list?
10-day list, yep.
Yeah, he cut his hand, cut a finger somehow. Weird accident. Can't have that. Want to get everybody up and running. Yeah, that bothered me, that one. But I think it was probably Zach Collins coming back up. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't understand what the thinking was there. I'm guessing, and it's just a total guess, that that Grandal is playing so well that they know he's going to be the primary catcher and he's going to get at bats, and you're looking for another left-handed bat. You know, you're probably more likely to run into one with Zach Collins than you are with Sebi Zavala. Maybe it's as simple as that.
I'm surprised. That was the one that I thought would be you would not have happen because of Zavala's ability to frame pitches, to handle the staff, and his defense overall. But the pass balls maybe caught up with him. Maybe that's part of it. I also think it speaks to how well Gavin Sheets has come along and what they may, you know, when you bring up Zach Collins, and it removes the fact that probably you're not going to use Grandal as your DH. If he catches, then you're going to need somebody. Maybe it's Andrew Vaughn versus Sheets. Maybe it's a platoon situation if Aloy's going to play left field and avoid the fence. Then I think so this speaks to the depth they have at the DH position and the trust they might have now in Gavin Sheets, perhaps. So, but that was the one that surprised me. Mendick, and you know, yeah, you don't like to see Tapera, but most surprised at the catcher moves.
Pick six! Wow!
Do you like the Cubs playing role of spoiler down the stretch, especially with seven games remaining against the St. Louis Cardinals? Do you believe the Cardinals welcome the Cubs as a late season opponent? What's your prediction record over those seven games?
Of course they welcome the Cubs. Wouldn't you welcome the Cubs? The Cardinals are now, look at them. They are in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they are the second wild card team. Where did they come from, and how did that happen? I don't understand what's going on in St. Louis. John Lester on the mound tonight for the Cardinals. John Lester on the mound tonight for the Cardinals. Said it twice for emphasis. Yes, against the New York Mets. I don't think that the Cubs have a good shot against one of the hottest teams in the National League. I think the Cubs are probably going to end up losing five of those seven games because the Cardinals are playing for something. And I think we have seen what happens in September when the Cardinals are playing for something.
You know, I think it's a great role for the Cubs. I think it's something to keep the fans interested, and wouldn't it be great if they went 4-3 in those games or something better than that. So I think that is something to fuel the fan and the fan interest. I don't know. It is weird the Cardinals are playing as well as they are. The Cubs were on a little bit of a hot streak, and they've cooled off a little bit, but who knows? Keep bringing up those 30-year-old rookies. Keep bringing up those guys that haven't been in the majors in a while, and let's see what happens. It's very exciting. All right, that is the Pick Six. We're going to get to our man Dan Pompey next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw. Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. His name is writ in the Hall of Fame. Dan Pompey joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good to be with you today. Exciting first week of football and ready to get on with the second week, right?
You know, it was interesting because David pointed out that Andy Dalton got rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds on average, which is the the lowest total in the league. I mean, he really got rid of the ball. That was obviously part of the game plan. And Dan, when you looked back on the game and gave your thoughts on it at the Athletic, you mentioned that he was probably the best pass protector for the Bears. That was one way. It was a great line. It was also one way of keeping a certain Aaron Donald out of the backfield. Get rid of the ball.
Yeah, I guess it's a credit to Dalton for being able to get rid of the ball so quickly. Also a credit to Matt Nagy, although no one wants to give Matt Nagy credit for anything these days, but a credit for him for making the game plan like that, because that's what they had to do. But then again, it didn't really work. So I don't know how much credit anyone gets, because the problem is, you know, when you've got an offensive line like the Bears have and especially had last week, it might be different moving forward. But, you know, and you're going against a defensive front like that with one of the greatest players of all time, you know, you have to do things that you don't really want to do in order to try to move the ball. And, you know, I think the Bears were compromised because of their inability to pass block, and it affected their game plan, affected their execution, and certainly it didn't allow them to do the things that Matt Nagy wanted this offense to do when he put it together.
Well, they scored 14 points. That's not enough. And if the Bears offense struggles early against the Bengals, Dan, do you think we are at the point already where Justin Fields might replace Andy Dalton to give that offense a spark?
I think it's probably still too early for that, David, but I guess only Matt Nagy knows the answer to that. I saw that Jay Glazer reported the other day the Bears were hoping to at least get four games out of Andy Dalton as a starter, and I think that makes sense to me. You know, I think I would expect that they would continue to play Justin Field in spots, except maybe try to get him more exposure than they did in the first game, maybe get him, you know, multiple repetitive snaps, maybe get a whole package with him where he stays on the field for, you know, whatever it is, 6-7 plays, if they can keep the drive alive for that long, or maybe it's a red zone package, whatever it is. But I think, you know, the idea of a slow acclimation makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, in addition to helping Fields get ready, it can help the Bears win the game, you know, and that's really what it's all about. That's got to be their primary goal. And, you know, he can do things, obviously, that Andy Dalton can't. Dalton at this point can do things that Fields can't. So, you know, they can have a complement to one another.
NFL underdogs had an historically successful week one. There was a total of 9 teams that were not expected to win that managed to pull off outright upsets, and that's the most in, I guess, 38 years. Did you feel like the Rams were – no. The Bengals winning one of them. see the joke as I make. Obviously, the Bengals were one of them, and here come the Bears, and they've got – they're in first place or in last place. You tell me. But they got a chance here against a Bengals team that surprised some people. Clearly the quarterback is a stud, and there's a lot to worry about. But I don't know. What's your take on this week, and how big is this opportunity, just given the fact that the rest of the division stayed with the Bears?
Well, Molly, if the Bears play the way they did last week against the Rams, the Bengals will have another one of those upsets this week, because it wasn't good enough on a lot of different levels. You know, we've talked about their defense and their underperformance, and I think, you know, if the Bears are going to win games, that's going to have to change completely from what they did on Sunday. They need to get pressure up front. You know, this team is built to win up front. That's where they have to dominate, and they didn't come close to it. And then, you know, the secondary had problems, and I think, you know, there are probably more problems to be exposed in that secondary as time goes on, especially if they're not getting home with pass rush. So, you know, the Bears have to turn around defensively. And if they do that, you know, they've got an opportunity to win. You know, as you said, they didn't lose any ground in the NFC North because every other team lost. So, you know, they're not in a terrible position from that standpoint, but they also, you know, they've got a lot of tough games ahead, and they can't afford to lose games that they are supposed to win. And the odds makers, for whatever they know or don't know, say they're supposed to win on Sunday.
Dan, Akiem Hicks broke his 9-month-long silence with the Bears media yesterday, and he declared that he would like to finish his career and retire as a Chicago Bear. We know what the contract situation is. He's in the final year of a deal that pays him $10 million this year. They have talked about an extension and had reached an impasse. How likely is it to you that Akiem Hicks retires a Bear?
I think it's probably not real likely. You know, I think if you look at the history of Hicks is going to be 32 years old next year in his fourth NFL contract. You look at the history of guys like that, and they usually go into the negotiations looking for a nice raise based on everything that they've accomplished in the past. And then the team usually looks at it like, well, he's 32 years old. How much longer can he perform at the highest level that he's been performing at? You know, so I think, you know, it becomes an issue. Now, with Hicks, what's interesting is, you know, you often see players at his position do very well into their mid-30s. So I'm not saying that he's not going to continue to be a very good player. I think, you know, if he goes out this season and really plays well and consistently and stays on the field for 16 games, his chances increase. You know, and there's another complicating factor in this. Actually, there's two complicating factors. The first is the Bears are over-invested in their defensive front. You know, that's where the large majority of their cap space and cash goes to. So at some point, you know, if they don't win this season, they might have to say, well, look, this hasn't been working. We're going to have to maybe invest somewhere else and take some of that money and put it into other areas of the team. And the other complicating factor is Bilal Nichols also is up, and I think he's 6 years younger than Hicks, and the Bears might get to a situation where they have to choose between Nichols and Hicks.
Wow. Yeah, that great is point. That's really a difficult one to break down. I got to tell you, Dan, as I look at this team and I think about where they're at, they can't be as bad as they looked. And I don't know that they're necessarily good, but you would think that the left tackle thing is going to dog them all year long and might change the way they have to play. They may need to run the ball more. They may need to use play action to get the ball down the field, and they don't seem to do that in their offense.
Yeah, I mean, well said. But it's only a small sample size we're judging them by, and we're only judging them based on their performance against the defense that was the best in the league last year. You know, I think they certainly have hopes that some of their left tackles are going to get healthy and get on the field and give them a boost in that regard. But you know, I'm with you. This is a flawed team. You know, it's they've got some issues. So I think, you know, they've got to start working them out and finding different ways to do it. And I think, you know, no team is that loses the first week of the season usually is as bad as they look, just like no team that wins the first week of the season is as good as they look. But it's fun for all of us to sit here and overreact like crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
It's what it's all about, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, buddy. Thank good you stuff. So much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you, Dan. That is Dan Pompey. He does a great job at The Athletic.
It's what we do.
Of course. I mean, listen, you know, the beauty of a 17-game season is that you can live and die on a weekly basis, and you can constantly kind of look at it in the context of the larger picture. And, you know, the good news for the Bears, and it's really good news,
yeah,
they're still in it.
They're still in it,
and it's almost like a restart to the season this week.
It's a four-way tie for first, so and every week is a season unto itself. We're in mid-season form, that's all.
All right, that is David Haugh. You're listening to Mully and Haugh on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.